Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Welcome to the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show on the Voice of Vachon, located on beautiful Vachon Island, rising above the waters of Puget Sound between Seattle and Tacoma in the state of Washington. That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. Brian's motto was less is more, more or less, and he always offered more. Our Briefly panel today includes our big board pilot, real life pilot, treetop flyer, and almost fully reformed Texan Truman O'Brien.
Good morning.
Good morning. Legal Eagle, consensus builder, former Washington State Assistant AG, ladies shoe salesman, and Fulbright scholar, Craig Bellis.
Good morning.
We also have our avid defender of justice, mariner, cyclist, and top secret engineer, Kevin Jones.
Still with us.
Less secret is our historian, professor, party animal, and down under aficionado, Bruce Hallman.
Good to be here.
And I am Amy Dreyer, part-time Politico, full-time shenanigans coordinator, and wondering, do the French really say it, Vachon?
Vachon. Mm-hmm.
We shall have
Vachon?
To see.
I think we need a native speaker in here. Getting spicy in January. I like it. Warming up the studio.
There you go.
Warming up the studio. All right. And we also have special guests here today, Lynn Greiner and Nicole Tadano from the Friends of Mukai Board of Directors. Hello. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. All right. So before we jump in, let's take a moment to check in about all of the things we've experienced this past week. Any special moments? Truman, how about you? I see you're warming it up here.
Well,
you're ready.
No, I was laughing because, you know, I had just an absolutely nothing week. I mean, I just, you know, all the mundane household stuff. But I had one of those good news, bad news. No, actually bad news, good news days. I've been thinking about getting a new computer. Mine's, you know, 5 or 6 years old, which is an antique in computer years. And so yesterday I came down in the morning, I went to turn on my computer, nada, zip, zero, no.
Yeah. That's called motivation, right?
That's motivation.
Yeah, it's a sign from above.
So I quickly got on the stick and got a new computer coming. This morning I came down and I thought, you know, I'm going to climb under that darn desk and rummage around under there, see if maybe there's a problem with the power. And there's a, you know, it had a little, what do you call them?
Power strip.
Power strip. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And I flipped that switch on and off a few times. It came back up, pushed the button, zip, it all came alive. It's working perfectly.
I've got one question for you, Truman.
Yes.
You're the head of our tech team?
Yes. I know.
I heard a yes there, didn't you?
Trust me, I know this part. But
it is the venerated on-off system.
Yeah,
come on.
Right,
how many people has that saved?
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, well, they said cars ought to be made, you know, like computers. And they said, yeah, when it quits, you pull over the side of the road, shut it off, and start it back up again.
I had a car like that.
Yeah, why would we do that, right? Do that. And made by Microsoft, right? There you go. Anyway, that's my week.
Craig, what was up with you this week?
Not much either, except the first Thursday morning scramble that Mike Nichols, our local great harmonica player, blues player, he and I had our show, but it wasn't on the first because, like so many people on the island, I was dealing with this crud, that constant coughing thing that I had. And so we moved it to the second Thursday of the first Thursday, the second Thursday of the month. And we were playing tunes that were our favorites, some of our all-time, just a whole cross-section of faves. And if anybody's interested, that's all archived on the voiceofvachon.org. You can go to shows and you can look up these shows, the Brown Briefly, as well as Morning Scrambles and many, many other shows. The other thing was yesterday, I was pushed to the limit. Every year I have to take a cardio stress test. And when they finally tilt that thing up the last time and you've got to keep going, I thought I was going to... It's one of those Laurel and Hardy routines where you're holding on to the... you know, you think you're going to fly off the back when you can't move your legs anymore. But I think I passed again, so I'm happy about that.
Good, good. Well, that's raging good news. I like it. Lynn, what special things have happened with you this week?
Well, I actually got a new hip 4 weeks ago, and so this week I'm able to do stairs. I'm able to walk without any mobility device. Here I am. Life is getting mostly back to normal. I'm going to hear music at Town Hall tonight. Life's getting mostly back to normal.
Great.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. And Nicole, how about you?
Not much out of the ordinary. Doing a lot of farm maintenance on the farm. Got to play some indoor futsal at the McMurray Gym with the soccer club. And I guess for culture, one of our funders for Friends of Mukai came out for a fun visit last week, and we got to show them around. That was pretty fun.
Nice, nice. Very good, very good. And let's see. I think we've got Bruce.
Sure. Celebrating the first week of not being president of the Heritage Museum, so trying to find out what to do with all my spare time.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry.
Yeah,
don't
wait.
Worry.
You should not say that on the air. You should not say that on the air.
Keep that secret. Right. Yesterday was Pam's 78th birthday.
Oh,
so we had a big celebration this weekend with all the kids and grandkids came out, and it's sort of like, it's one of those things where you really enjoy them when they're here, but you really enjoy it when they're gone as well.
Yeah.
But it was good. So that was good. And then that's about it. It's just been that quiet early January sort of. I've been watching the plungers at KVI Beach. If you've never plunged, don't do it. Because it looks frigid. But there was one plunger this morning who was actually swimming. Most of them go out and they plunge for, you know,
30 seconds,
a minute, 2 minutes at the most, and then they're out, they're wrapped back up. And this guy actually was swimming laps along KVI Beach. Wow. And I'm thinking, my God, you know, what's he going to be like when he gets out?
Yeah.
Sort of like wrinkled
blue.
Prune.
Yeah, blue,
right. Sort of,
yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's just always fun to watch these groups. And they come in small groups, you know, 2-3 people. Sometimes it'll be 4 or 5. But all during the morning, beginning about 8 o'clock, as soon as it starts getting light, you know, up until almost 10 o'clock, there's groups coming and plunging.
Wow.
So if you want to plunge, KVI is a great place to do it.
All right.
I'll be sure and avoid that.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of scuba diving here in the Sound. And, of course, I wore a Farmer John wetsuit. And every once in a while, you'd move, and this shot of water would go right down your back. No thanks.
Good morning. Kevin, how about you?
Hey, my week has kind of been a maritime theme, actually. So a couple of items to maybe pre-announce. The Quartermaster Yacht Club Tech Talks may be coming back. Oh. It looks like we have things scheduled on the first Tuesdays of the month. So in February, it's going to be nautical chart accuracy Tech Talk, and then followed by anchoring, knot tying and lines, and then OpenCPN, which is a free software navigation. So multiple people stepping in to do QIC Tech Talks. But the other maritime thing is with the Vashon Island Rowing Club. If you haven't noticed, the wind has been down and the water has been like glass. And so some just spectacular morning, get out around 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, and get the oars in the water. It's been spectacular out there this week.
Great.
So I have been having fun doing that.
Cool.
Excellent, excellent. And I have to apologize. I'm a little out of sorts. Part of my brain has just been grieving for the last few days. I just, you know, I try to do something, and my week, unfortunately, was really, really devastating. We lost another Islander on Friday. And, you know, won't talk about circumstance as much, but just really Louis Jennings. Really, really sad passing, unexpected, and just grieving for his family and grieving for friends right now. And, you know, I have a lot to say about it, but for now, I think the best thing to say is there's no us and them on the island. There's our neighbors, and there's folks who smile at you coming out of Thriftway that you get used to seeing. Folks you make music with in your garage, mm-hmm. and Louis grew up here and was a friend to so many here, and we're just I just for the last few days I just. I'm halfway there, I feel like I'm only partway present. So I just wanted to, kind of share that with the community and just say we have some work to do in our community, I think. And just really shout out to Louis, man, buddy. Missed you, loved you. Of course, one of the anchor musicians of the famous island band Heavy Nettle.
Oh.
Right. One of my favorite groups. And man, he just made music with a ton of folks. And, our lives won't be as rich without you, buddy. So just sending that out there to everyone today. Cool. All right. So what else about today? It is a significant day, as are all days. And I found this one. I think I don't know if the people who do this need a day to do it, but it is National Dress Up Your Pet Day.
Which I think is criminal.
Yeah. It is.
But funny.
That's from an assistant attorney general, by the way. Don't take that lightly.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. It is, except I don't know. I get a lot of joy from watching those videos where people put like booties on their dogs.
Me too.
Yeah. So go ahead and dress up your pet today. It is sanctioned. You get a 1-day reprieve for that. It's also not Poetry Day, but Poetry at Work Day.
No. Oh.
Very specifically, Poetry at Work Day. So get on it, from haiku to sonnets to free verse. Get your poetry on today. And also related to work, it is it's Printer Ink Day, folks.
How
printer.
That?
That's a great question. smudging your hands. Giving money to HP. I'm not sure, but it is Printer Ink Day today. So I don't. Maybe you just say a nice thank you to your printer.
Maybe
ink.
Molly will text in from the print shop and let us know what her thoughts are about that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I will have to tell you quickly. My wife used to work with a research lab, a cardiovascular research lab. And the head of the lab, the surgeon, who's an amazingly talented and famous surgeon, would come in when they were printing. They were getting ready to print the final print of an article that he was doing. And that was a publication that they did there at the hospital. And he would come in the middle of the night when they were doing the final printing. And he would look at the sheets and go, with his pen. And they would go, no, get away, stay away from this. So I always think of Printer's Ink. I think of him coming in, Dr. Savage coming in and wanting to make amendments at the last second. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, there we go. There is an honorable Printer Ink Day celebration. Yeah. All right. Today in history, 1690, the clarinet is invented in Nuremberg, Germany. Jazz thanks you. Parents of children do not thank you.
Yeah, I
briefly played the clarinet, and I think my parents would go with that last comment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Squeak, squeak.
Yep.
1699, Massachusetts holds a day of fasting for wrongly persecuted witches. Mm. Oh, a day of fasting, guys. Thanks. That's
get that one.
The least you could do there.
Is it true that no witches were actually burned in New England?
I think they were dunked.
I had heard that the none had ever, not that that's great, but I think that's a widely held myth.
Yeah, I do not know. Bruce, do you? Yeah, that's idiosyncratic. We'll have to figure that out. But but at least you know that those Puritans went a whole day without, cornmeal.
Yeah. I can hear the Brown Briefly Reachers team kicking into high gear right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Watch your phones.
Yep. The Google machine's like, what just happened on Vashon Island? All right. 1900, Giacomo Puccini's opera Tosca premieres in Rome. Thank you. And personal favorite here, 1944, Nina Totenberg, American journalist. It is her birthday today. Mm-hmm. Nina, of course, provides the best best commentary on the Supreme Court you will find in many places on NPR, and less so these days. And as I think she's, you know, of course, aging, and we are poorer for that, because her voice on the court was and is stunning. Have appreciated her work.
And I can tell you that Tosca, I actually saw Tosca at the Met in March of this year.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. All right. Well, now we're going to get to our small talk section. Hello, hello. We have Lynn Greiner and Nicole Todano from Friends of Mukai Board of Directors. Mukai Farm and Gardens has realized some wonderful gains in the last few years, and we're excited to check on exciting steps forward in the reimagining and renovation of the barreling plant in particular. Of course, the Farm and Gardens, if you haven't been out there lately, are lovely. The Haiku Festival, Japan Festival, just it's a great, beautiful place to visit. How are the koi doing in the koi pond? I always worry about them.
They're still alive.
They're still alive? Okay. All right. They're still there. All right. So just sort of our standard opening question. We always like to get to know folks first as islanders. How did each of you come to be on lovely little Vashon Island?
I'll start. This is Lynn here. We lived in Seattle happily for a long time, and we would come out here and visit. And 20 years ago, we were here and saw a for sale sign on this historic house in Ellisport, maybe the old Fuller house, 1906, which we had stayed in as a bed and breakfast earlier, for sale sign. And we spontaneously decided to buy it. We've never done anything like that before or since. So we moved to Vashon, and here we are 20 years later.
Excellent. That is a great Vashon story. And I feel like not unique. Mm-mm. Sometimes folks are just moved.
It's like a spark of inspiration. It's mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah. It was the right thing to do, because here you are with us
and
today.
It's a historic house, and that's my jam.
Wow. Yeah. How has that been?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
All right. And Nicole?
So I moved here about a little over 10 years ago, and I think our decision to move here was a little more deliberate. My husband grew up as a child on Vashon. I think he moved off island a little bit before high school, but had fond memories of the island and growing up here. We had two kids at that time, and thought it would be great to move to someplace so magical. So I think looked around for a little while and then found a parcel that we are now farming on. So
great.
Excellent. Here. What kind of farming are you doing?
Just fruits, vegetables, you know, chickens, mm-hmm. for eggs.
Yeah, are the eggs though that much more affordable once you feed the chickens? And but they are that much more delicious.
True.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Nicole
yeah.
has a nice farm stand, right? Do a shout out.
Oh. Yes, we're located on 87th Avenue. We've got a little tiny farm stand, which we're currently trying to expand and hopefully grow. I know Viga's got this great farm stand map for anyone curious about, you know, where all the farm stands on the island are. But we're on there. We're on that map.
Well, that's great. Nice. Yeah.
It's on the north end? 87th?
Actually, around the corner from the schools.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, see that? I'm only now barely learning how to use street addresses on the island and like understanding like what numbers mean what. I'm getting there. I am. I'm coming into the 21st century.
Jesus Barn and Sound Food. And,
I know
the old map, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Nicole, what's the name of your farm?
It's just Provo Farms.
Just Provo Farm. Very, very good. Let me shift gears just a little bit. We're talking about how you both individually came to Vashon. I'm curious, how did you each come to get involved with Friends of Mukai? Who wants to take that question first?
I'll start because I was kind of involved in the beginning with Bruce. There were 10 of us, and Mukai had was privately owned for a number of years, and some people in the community bought it and formed a nonprofit in 2000 and got it on the historic register, but didn't take care of it. And so it was very neglected, derelict, and the community members started to get concerned. And then in 2012, an effort came together by concerned islanders to save it. And so we formed a board, and Bruce and I were both on that. And the dysfunctional board that owned it, they fought us taking it over. They were living in Texas, and so it was a four-year lawsuit. But we prevailed, so we got custody of it in 2016, and I've been involved off and on since then, board member for a while, board president for a while, back on the board now, and I'm the chair of the Fruit Barreling Plant Construction Committee.
That's great.
Thank you. You,
we could do a whole show on those events back in 2000, could we not?
Oh, yes, we could.
All we have to do is just go back to the Beachcomber, I think, and read all the articles there. Nicole.
Yes, so I participated and attended a number of Mackay's events since moving to the island about 10 years ago. I'm Yonsei, I'm fourth generation Japanese American, so like to take my kids to a lot of the cultural programs, kids events that they have, Japan Festival, Children's Day. But it wasn't until pretty recently that I joined the board. I attended, I think this past summer, a community meeting about the fruit barreling plant that I'd heard about, and shortly thereafter started talking with Rita Brogan, I think Friends of Mackay's current co-president, about joining the board and supporting its efforts. And so now I also am supporting Lynn on the Fruit Barreling Plant Committee.
Great.
Great, thanks. Let me jump in. And sort of a two-part question. First is give us a little bit of background on the Mackay family and the importance of the Mackay family and the site on Vashon. And then the second part of it is sort of tell us about the formation of the Friends of Mackay and what has happened to get us to the point of where we are today.
And I'll take it, maybe with Bruce's help here, because you know the history as well as anybody here. So the acreage that's now the remnant farm, 40 acres, I think, was purchased by Japanese immigrant B.D. Mackay and his wife, Kuni, through their American-born son, Masa, in 1926. They had lived on Vashon for 10, 12 years, tenant farming strawberries, but couldn't purchase property because of alien land laws. So when Masa turned 16 or 15 or what, something like that, they bought it in his name. The first building that they built was the fruit barreling plant right away. They, over the years of tenant farming berries, they realized that the kind of berries they farmed had a short shelf life, so they pioneered a system to pack them in big barrels, two parts sugar, one part berry, and then they would go to Seattle, they'd be packed in ice, and then they could be shipped all across the country, New York, California. It was really the leading edge of fruit of frozen food. So that enterprise, the farm, was very successful. They, at various points, employed up to 400 workers a year from all over. So they built that in 1926 and got that whole business component going. The next year, 1927, they built their craftsman home, very American-looking, because B.D. Mackay really wanted to blend in and be American. So it has a lawn and your classic bungalow from back then. And then over the next following years, Kuni Mukai's wife, she held on to her Japanese heritage, so she installed the Japanese garden that's there. With the help of a lot of the laborers who were picking strawberries, because if you have been there, there are some massive, what do they call those, boulders? There's a word for glacial erratics that are here and there placed just so. So the farm cooked along until 1942, when the internment order came along. The Mackays were so wealthy, so well connected, that they got advance notice from some naval commander or something. So they fled to Eastern Oregon, I think, and stayed with family friends. Lived there for the duration of the internment era till 1946. They were actually successful there too. Massa pioneered some agricultural systems there too. So super enterprising family. They came back in 1946. The strawberry farming had lost momentum for a number of reasons. So they went into other things. And then the property, I think, was sold in the 60s in private hands until like 2000, which I said earlier. So Friends of Mukai, we formed in 2012, 2013, right after we started our play to get hold of the property. And we've been a successful nonprofit since then. We've raised a lot of money over the beginning years to restore the house, put a roof on, do earthquake protection, get the foundation set, redo the kitchen, a number of things. We redid the Japanese garden, which was a very fun project. We looked at the plants that were available to Kuni back in the 30s. Connected with Kubota Garden, if you know Seattle. They were all a community, a Japanese farming community. So we restored the garden as best we could, making it deer-proof now and a little more drought-tolerant than was needed back then. And now we're working on the barreling plant, the last capital project. And in 2000, we stabilized that at the tune of $850,000. And now we're going to finish it off, and we'll talk about that more in a few minutes.
And go ahead. I would just, you know, as you're talking, and it's living on the island and kind of being aware, it's just like, it's just Mukai, right? But I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about the cultural impact of Mukai, or like regionally, right? Like what does it mean for Vashon to have this? Is this something that's happening regionally, or are there other sites like Mukai regionally? I think that there's one on Bainbridge, but just wondering, you know, what does it mean for Vashon to have this iconic property?
I'll start. Well, it's on the National Historic Register. It's a King County landmark. It's state, there's a state recognition too. We, in the very beginning, hired a Tacoma firm, Artifacts Consulting, that does a lot of historical preservation work. And they gave us a blueprint to restore it. But they also did research, and they said that they think it's the only intact Japanese-built farm in the country. A lot of Japanese farmers back then wanted to blend in, so they buy a property and just use what was there. But this is a unique site because Beattie and Kuni and Massa built it all, and it's still here. So, and in terms of visitors, we get 5,000 visitors a year, and we can't even count all the visitors. A lot of people come and just wander around through the day, and we don't have a camera. But maybe you, Nicole, can talk about cultural programming that we do.
Oh, yes, and before we move on, I guess, to that, I just wanted to add, it is a public garden, you know, so you see school trips, a bunch of kids all visiting. I don't know that there are any other public gardens on Vashon. And then the gardens next to the house is a really interesting contrast. You've got the very American style, you know, architecture for the house, and then a very traditional looking Japanese garden, and together you kind of see like the contrasting influences, and both the desire to fit in and blend in, but also maintaining those cultural roots and traditions. So I think, yeah, worthwhile just to go see that.
Yeah, if I can jump in on that, it's that blending of two cultures that's very significant about this site. And BD, I just ran into this, and I'll send it to you guys, but in the 1911 newspaper, Vashon newspaper, the editor was asking BD how he pronounced his name, and he said McKay. Because I think he wanted to fit in rather than Mukai, you know, and you know, by the 1930s and after the war, you know, Mukai much more acceptable, even though they changed the name from Mukai and Son to Vashon Island Packing Company to get away from that sort of Japanese name. So it's interesting that he wanted to be American, design the house as a very American house. and how, you know, Kuni, whose father was a garden designer in Japan, sort of kept that tradition alive and developed the gardens at Mukai. And what's been restored is just the North Garden. There's a South Garden that was destroyed when a road was put in that I think long-term Mukai wants to reestablish the South Garden. And together they blanket the house, if you will, or bracket the house with the North and South Gardens. And it's tied together with the rock wall. So it'll be a very significant thing when that gets accomplished. But the barreling plant was the heart of it, if you will. I mean, it's what brought the wealth in to the family.
The talk about the gardens. I'm a definite fan of Japanese gardens. My wife is a librarian, and she knew of my interest, so she would bring these books to the house, right, as gifts. And one of the books that she brought still had the label in the bookstore that they put on it. It was handled with reverence. just the notion of so much thought and design that goes into those, you know, it's not necessarily obvious, right, to the lay person. Also, just the, you know, the Japanese presence on the island and the development. Of course, my friend Miyoko Matsuda, and the Matsuda Farms, and so there's really so much, you know, here once you have a chance to discover it. But I did want to ask about the barreling plant, and you mentioned, Lynn, that you know, friends of Mukai came in to basically establish care and ownership of the house. But now I understand, is it King County actually donated the land or transferred the land on which the barreling plant sits? So apparently that was a whole separate transaction, right, from the Mukai Farm and Garden that initially started with. Tell us about kind of how that piece fits in.
Yes, so King County really partnered with us from the very beginning. When maybe some of you islanders remember when we were trying to get it, we had a This Place Matters event in the street in front of it to try to get the dysfunctional board to go away. And King County members were there. Dow Constantine was there. Our council member, Joe McDermott, was there, both wearing the same shirt. They still talk about it. Still, it was a funny deal, but there were a couple hundred people there. When we got custody of the site in 2016, well, we always wanted the barreling plant, always. But we talked to our then state senator, Sharon Nelson, and she helped us get a big state appropriation, $350,000. And that was about 2016, I think. States are a little fuzzy, to purchase the barreling plant. And we had been in, one of our board members, Kelly Robinson, had been in a lot of contact with the owner of the barreling plant, private owner contractor. And so King County came in and helped. It was a very elaborate kind of deal that happened. But the contractor moved to a King County parcel, and then the county ended up taking the $350,000 that Sharon Nelson got for us and using that to purchase the barreling plant. We said all along, we want it. We can manage it. We can manage it. And then finally, so that started in 2017 when they purchased it. And just last year, finally, they gave it to us. And I think Joe McDermott, our former council member, really had a big part on that. We were bothering him about this for years, and he was cycling off. And it was one of the final things that he did for us was transfer it to us. And I think it was also a show of a vote of confidence that we had done so much with the house and garden, and we'd stabilized the barreling plant. Even though they owned it, we had this really lengthy use agreement where they basically gave us full authority to raise the money for everything, to operate it, to fix it. I remember when we tried to get insurance on this, the insurance agent said, "Now, wait a minute. They own it and they want you to do everything, and why are you doing this?" But anyway, King County finally, I think, saw that, hey, yes, let's just give it to the Friends of Mukai. So our long-term goal has been to unite the two parcels. So it's about 5 acres out of the original 40 acres. And yeah, so we finally, that was a big moment. Yeah, it was really fun. Council Member Mosqueda came out, and we had a really, with a number of our people and the farm community, that was in September, I think, really fun to celebrate that.
A testament to the persistence and patience it takes to move at the pace of government.
So full disclosure, I was a park commissioner with the original people that had control of it were involved in. And to be perfectly honest, I can't remember exactly everything that had transpired there, but I know it was quite contentious. I think one of the things that did happen, though, that some scroll-like pieces were added to the porch, that they wanted to return, get more of a Japanese influence. Do you know about that? If the porch on the, I guess it would be the east side of the building, I think, there's some scroll work that supports for that porch. And I think that was done trying to, to get it back to more of a Japanese, to try, yeah. That I know that happened as when I was when I was a park commissioner. And second full disclosure, I was on the board of the forest stewards, which were involved, and I won't go into all of that, but there was some a bit contentious things that occurred there as well. But the good thing about that is that the forest stewards did mill some of the original, or some of the lumber that shiplap that was not available anywhere else, but the forest stewards were able to mill that to repair and do some work on the barreling plant to help get that back to its original form. So my question for you is, what are the plans for the barreling plant? What's going to go moving forward here?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about just the process where we are. So we, in 2022, hired a really great architectural firm, Hoshide Wanzer, and our architect is Rachel Kitagawa. And she, if you've been to Bainbridge, she worked on the barn, the community center there. They did a Wajimaya. They've done a lot of really great community projects all over. So Rachel's been working with us for, since the end of 2022. And we have a project manager. We have civil engineers, structural engineers, mechanical engineers, now a kitchen designer. So we are in the process of finalizing the design set to submit to King County. And that, it's like 65 pages now with drawings and specifications. Wow. When the building was built almost 100 years ago, there weren't any codes for occupancy. Now there are definitely codes for occupancy. So we've discovered a wetland behind the barreling plant. So now we have to deal with that. So it's a lot more complicated than one might want or think. But anyway, the design package will be finished in the next month and then submitted to permitting. And then we think permitting will take maybe 6 months. And so the goal is to start construction in August or September of this year and then finish it within 6 months. So that will be finished in
6 months for permitting?
No. Six months for permitting.
Good luck. Yeah. This is King County, I mean.
Maybe more. Yeah. Maybe more.
Yeah.
But the goal now, the construction will get completed in 2026. And originally, I've been working on this a while, and I was bummed. But then it dawned on me, that's the centennial anniversary of when it was built. So there's some kind of serendipity about all this. And in terms of fundraising, we have a fair amount of federal money, $650,000. And I'm a little worried about what's going to happen to that. Trying to been in touch with the grant managers, hoping we're under contract, but we just probably read about, we just got a big grant appropriation from King County for Culture of $800,000+. And I was on the phone with them yesterday. They're going to have another big grant, capital grant award this year. So they said, come back if you need more. And then we're keyed up for a big state grant through Heritage Capital. The Heritage Capital Project, so the legislature is looking at that now. And that was kind of a little fun thing. There were 40 applicants, and I listened to the ranking. There's The state convenes an advisory panel, so they reviewed all of the applications online. It took 6 hours, and ours was the top-ranked project in the state.
Wow.
So
congratulations.
It was a big vote of confidence. So we'll get the state money. We'll get the Four Culture money. I hope we can hold on to the federal money, and we should be very close to having enough.
That raises a few questions that I have. One is, we've been talking about the barreling plant, really focused on that. Do you have other plans for Mukai, or do you have other dreams for Mukai? Can you want to dive in on that one?
So I think the barreling plant is the last big capital project. Mukai, Friends of Mukai always puts on every year a number of programs, both, you know, cultural programs, educational events, children's programs, and for the community. And all of those events are open and free to the community. I think one that everyone on island, hopefully everyone on island, has heard about is Japan Festival. That always happens, I think, like the first weekend in September, and each year it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And I went this past summer and was amazed at the number of people who turned out. Upcoming, I guess, in terms of other programming, we have the Haiku Festival, which has also grown over the years. That's coming up in April. We get hundreds of entries, I think, from all over the world now. It's amazing, and the entries are amazing. In May, we'll be celebrating the Day of Exile event that we have every year at Ober Park. Ober Park is the, you know, is the deportation assembly point for when those of Japanese descent were gathered and then shipped off to internment camps. And so each May, we have a ceremony to remember those individuals. I think there were 111 individuals on Vashon who were deported and shipped to internment camps. And we've been working with a local artist, Mia Sukune, to put together, design, create, and install an art sculpture that we hope to place at Ober Park in cooperation with the Vashon Parks District. So that's also pretty exciting. You know, and then there are other events that we also hold that I know less about, but like the movie nights that occur. I'm hopeful that this summer we'll continue to have the Ghibli Movie Festival. That's always a favorite, especially with kids. My kids are huge fans of the Studio Ghibli movies. And in terms of, I guess, like bringing this back to the barreling plant and what we hope for, you know, to have inside the barreling plant once the construction is completed, hopefully 2026, we've been working and been in discussions with the Vashon Island Growers Association to create a local food hub at the fruit barreling plant. That the Vashon Island Growers Association represents all the farmers on the island, and they promote local agriculture. And it's one of the, I guess, needs that this community still has. And so one of the most exciting parts, I think, is the commercial kitchen space that they are planning on putting in the barreling plant for both its members and for the community to use. But I think their visions, they would know better, but their vision is even bigger than that. They also plan to house an agricultural tool library for farmers to borrow and store, you know, larger agricultural equipment. I know we didn't go into this much, but in addition to the actual barreling plant that everybody's seen, there are plans to construct an agricultural tool shed behind the fruit barreling plant itself. The barreling plant is also going to store a lot of the local grain processing equipment. They've got Vega has secured a grain mill and a seed cleaner, and that's going to be, you know, housed there and hopefully used to grow Vashon's local grain economy. I think it's also going to be used as like a food distribution point and for food storage as well. So, there are other tenants too, but we've been working with all of them to make sure that the facility and the design plans that we're submitting for permitting hopefully next month will be able to meet like their needs.
Wow. That's a lot of stuff.
I was just going to say. Holy cow.
That's the nut right there. That's the lead that we buried at 11:45.
Lynn, were you going to add to that?
I could just say that another tenant is Fernhorn Bakery, who was started in Bob's Bakery, now is down the south. But they want to come in and expand their business, and they'll have a takeout window for coffee and baked goods, which will be really fun. The old ticket window that the Mukais used years ago. And then another tenant is Fuku Ferments, a startup business that will do koji-related, like soy and miso and fermented foods. And we have a couple other tenants. So it's going to be humming along, and it's so cool because it's like circles back to the original purpose of the building, food preservation and processing.
So two questions. One is the contractor that had it before you folks were able to acquire it, didn't he do some work on the foundation so that a lot of that's already done, or was that have to be redone, or
it has to be redone? Unfortunately, it was just temporary shoring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's really wet back there.
Yeah, I know it
so
is.
So we're gonna fix that.
Okay, you know, one of the things that strikes me about Vashon Island in general, and I keep encountering this over and over and over again, is the amount of collaboration that occurs between the various organizations and individuals who are the movers and shakers of the island. And I'm really heartened to hear you folks talk about how you're going to, you know, bring some of that together so that food production and that food can kind of have some place to be centered other than at our you know, outdoor market. I think that's really wonderful. I'd love to hear that.
I'm curious that's a tremendous amount of work and a tremendous amount of effort. How many board members do you have?
12 maybe. We're always looking for more.
As is every nonprofit on the island. I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you name them?
I can see the phones coming up now.
Yeah. Hadn't warned you on that one.
So our two co-presidents are Rita Bergen and Kay.
Longy.
Who was next to join? Was that
Jade
Agua
is the vice president. Meg Nelson's the secretary. Marie Harrington just came on as treasurer.
No.
And then Sunny Spidell. Wendy Blair, former librarian. They're doing a Master Gardener project out there now, which will be a Japanese climate-friendly gardens, which is going to be really cool.
Yes, I think she's working with, I think that's being led by Wendy, right, in the Master Gardeners program to create a pollinator-friendly garden back there.
Ruben McKnight, he's the Tacoma Historic Preservation Officer. We have a really more.
Yes, there are a lot of talented individuals. There's so many moving parts for the fruit barreling plant project. And the architects, like in Ruben's experience with the historical preservation, you know, have all been incredible and so helpful to this project. I don't know that I bring a whole lot, but a lot of cheerleading.
If we missed any board members, we apologize.
Yeah.
How much staff have you got? Approximately, do you know?
We're looking for a new executive director.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be putting that out soon.
Right.
Talking about it tonight, I think, and next week. So,
you know, some people on this island have never been to Mukai. Where exactly is it?
I actually don't know, like, the street names.
It's if you go... Yeah, 107. Yeah. Kind of by Dragon's Head Cider. Probably a lot of people know where that
right.
is. Next door. In fact, Dragon's Head used to be part of the original strawberry fields. So 107th off of Bank Road South.
Yeah, yeah. From the four-way stop, you head west on Bank Road.
That's right.
Take a left on 107.
Yeah, go left on Toyden.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there might be a sign at that.
Yeah.
Is there a sign
at that
intersection?
Sign. That's how I know to turn.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. And so you could show up on video, too, if you could. You have cameras, you said. Or no, you don't have cameras. You said you don't have cameras. Oh, so you don't know.
Tell everybody you have cameras.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Right, yes. We do have cameras. Okay, yes.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Interesting, the county renamed 107th Mukai Way just about a year and a half ago. So the official name of that road, 107th, going south from Bank Road, is now Mukai Way, which I think very appropriate.
Congratulations.
Yeah. That I can remember.
Yeah.
And one last question. Your website. What is your website?
MukaiFarmAndGarden.org, and it's all spelled out, no ampersand or anything. But we're redoing it, so look at it next week.
Okay.
Ooh,
okay.
All right.
All right. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're doing the same thing at Voice of Vashon. We should have it done here just in a couple weeks.
I'm curious how many, all this discussion, right, about the barreling plant and the heritage, the history of agriculture on the island, and that some of those elements are, you know, through Viga, you're supporting, you know, bringing some of that back. I know I was just at a dinner on Sunday with a friend who had worked, volunteered at Matsuda Farm, and has now talked a lot during that dinner about now raising microgreens. I'm wondering if you have, are you seeing that you're inspiring others to move into agriculture? Do you know, I'm just kind of curious, generally, agriculture on Vashon, any insights you have about where that's moving? Viga, I think you are a farm owner, Nicole. So kind of what are your thoughts about that?
There are quite a few local farms on Vashon Island, and, you know, some are larger than others. And I think there are over 30 farms that you might find on that farm stand map. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's everything from, you know, really nice, well-developed farm stands to, you know, a cooler on the end of a driveway. So, but they all sell different things. So.
Yeah, I think where I drive up to town, the West Side Highway and the road that goes down to Liza Beulah, there's like always eggs for sale there, you know. So I don't know, are those also on the farm stand map, do you think? Folks who are at that level as well?
Yes, right. Okay. Now, yeah. You know, especially in the middle of January, that's mm-hmm. the only thing in our farm stand.
There you go. All right.
I said to Amy that you all ought to do a whole show with Viga. They are rocking it. Being on the Mukai board, I learned so much about them. Mm-hmm. They have like 200 individual members and all these farm members and a fabulous newsletter they send out. It's really great.
Yeah, they are really growing, and this is just going to be such a catalyst, I think, for Viga to grow, but also I think to bring in community, to engage community, right, and to like introduce community to what agriculture can be, how local agriculture actually works. You know, we've moved so far away from food production and, you know, understanding how our food gets from A to B. So it's truly just like in another amazing treasure that Vashon is going to have, I think, to offer the region, right, offer the community. And so look forward to how the community is going to be able to engage with this entirely new project through Mukai.
You know, when K2 closed and moved off the island, one of the reasons that they did was that in order to have a product, they had to import all of the materials to build that product and then ship it back out. So one of the things when I was with Forest Stewards, one of the things that we talked about was what can we use on the island to promote business on the island? And that's to use products that are available here that we don't have to import things from. And so the farm communities and the farm groups that are working are fitting that goal, mm-hmm. where they're producing things that come right from the island. They don't have to import anything from it, well, other than maybe a little fertilizer. But boy, we have a lot of that too. Yeah, for those horse people. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I find that really, really exciting to see that happening on the island, that we're getting that agriculture back to where we used to be. Bruce can certainly tell us about that. Mm-hmm.
The circular economy.
Exactly.
The circular economy.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll have one other comment regarding the culture. And Nicole, you mentioned the internment and deportation. I had the good fortune to be on Bainbridge Island in the summertime, and I was riding around the island on my bike and saw a sign for their recognition, right, of the Japanese internment. And so folks are visiting on Bainbridge, I would recommend stopping by, because taking in all the cultural aspects of that history, I think, is really important for folks. And they have just a spectacular opportunity to immerse yourself in their history on Bainbridge as well. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see the island communities are really recognition, you know, of that history.
Yes, Bainbridge recently had their Mochitsuki, I think, event. Like, was it earlier this week?
Yeah.
Several of our board members were able to attend and awesome. Have fun and make those connections.
Yeah. That's great.
Bruce, yeah. Did Masa marry a Bainbridge Japanese heritage woman? I forget that.
No, she was from Seattle. But Bainbridge was the very first Japanese American community on the West Coast to be sent into exile and imprisonment, and so that's why it has become such a well-known sort of Remembrance Day, and the memorial, you know, the removal memorial at the ferry dock mm-hmm. is impressive. I mean, it's very, very well done. And I think that's in part what's going to happen here at Oprah Park, is to recognize that May 16th, you know, sort of exile and imprisonment of the Vashon Japanese American families, so that we'll have a permanent recognition of that. And Oprah Park, as Nicole said, was sort of the gathering point before they were taken by trucks up to the ferry and then over to Seattle and then by trains down to Pinedale, California.
Hmm. All right, one more false confession. I am now an airport commissioner, and Masa was a pilot. And in fact, it was his donation that actually got the airport started. There was one small, well, they had a little runway that was like 700 feet long. I mean, it was tiny.
What's fascinating about that, Masa, after the war, Masa was a pilot. Toke Atsuka was a pilot. There were a number of the Japanese veterans who came back after the war and took up flying. Yeah. And Masa actually sold at a very favorable rate his land up just near where the Catholic Church is,
exactly.
where the airport is, to yeah. the airport district to build the airport. But when we were interviewing the Atsuka family, we actually found photographs of airplanes landing on 107th parked in front of the barreling plant because they used 107th as a landing strip.
They did, yeah.
Wow.
And I have to tell you, Bob Thirkelson, who is currently also an airport commissioner, was one of the original guys in 1946 that set the airport up. And he talks about Masa with great, great admiration about what he did to get the whole airport thing started. So I always found that really fascinating that we have that connection.
Well, thank you, A, for coming in today, but also for giving all of the time that you have given and are giving to kind of bring Mukai to life for us. Is there anything else, you know, mukaifarmandgardens.org, but any specific things folks can do to support you? How can the community engage and support?
Donate. We're always looking yep. for money. Mm-hmm. We're a small nonprofit. Small and mighty, but yes, we rely on community donations, so that's one thing. And we need volunteers. There's a lot of yep. things over there that require upkeep. So if anyone has time and bandwidth and interest, get in touch with us, please.
Absolutely. Time, treasure, and talent, all those things. And that's oftentimes folks on Vashon do have a little bit of talent that they can donate. So that's a great way, I think, for folks to plug in. All right. So next week, we have a great show coming up. Kevin, can you tell us a little more?
Yes. And first, a little political set aside, because on the 19th, this Sunday, 10 o'clock, Bellevue College, the precinct committee officers of 34th Legislative District are going to get together to identify three names they're going to forward to fill the seat being vacated now by our current Senator Joe Wynn. And if our current representative, Emily Alvarado, moves into that seat, then there will be also names submitted for a person to be appointed to her seat. And the other important thing about this is that they will face election this November to see if they remain in that seat. So when you look ahead from Indivisible Vashon to the election cycle, it is not 2 years away. So mm-hmm. just put that on your radar screens for now. Mm-hmm. But Sunday the 19th, 10 o'clock, Bellevue College. It's an open meeting if people want to travel over to see the proceedings. But for next week, here's some names from Brown Briefly's past. Lynn Kerrigan, Susan McCabe, Michael Shook, Gail Kellner, and all of the Briefly staff. Amy, you will be, I believe, away. And Sheila Brown will be here next Tuesday to celebrate and recognize the 5th year plus 3 days of the passing of our founder, Brian Brown. So tune in, listen to our retrospective in commemoration of just a fantastic person that we all know and love. So I hope you'll join us.
It is going to be a wonderful show. Wonderful show. I'm sad to miss it, but I will be reveling with you in spirit. And it's going to be lively too. I can hear it in my head. I can hear it in my head. All right. For Bruce, Truman, Craig, Kevin, Lynn, and Nicole, thank you so much for spending an hour with us here on the Brown Briefly. And thank you for listening to KVSH 101.9 FM, the voice of Vashon. Also streaming live at voiceofvashon.org. And rock on, Louie, my friend. You're always in our hearts. Take care, everyone.